right. Hello, friends.
Hi, everyone.
We are back.
We're back with another episode of I'm Horrified.
I'm horrified. Ooh. We are horrified. When's the last time you were truly horrified, Sam? I really don't put all the dings in for this one because he's going back and forth. It's going to hurt people's
when
ears.
We say the title, I don't ding it. It's I only if we so. Say horrified in the context of the episode.
Right. Fair. I just have such a lovely time here. We have to consider a rebrand.
I'm thrilled.
Nobody's going to watch.
No one's going to be interested.
Well, nobody's going to watch this because it's a podcast, first of all. But yeah, that's no fun.
It's no fun. I look forward to when we do the occasional, like, I'm thrilled or, like, the guilty pleasures we did for the holidays. It is a fun break to be able to talk about something, like, titillating instead of something that's, like, whoa, Jesus.
Yeah. My favorites, I think, are last week when it's, like, what do you fucking think of this? Look at this. And actually, you know what? I think it's really similar today.
Ooh, really?
I have a, like, look at this person's actions and tell me what you think about it.
Oh, I'm...
Because a lot of people are like, what?
I'm so excited. Allie, take us away.
That's where we are today. And I don't want to be needlessly cruel. I don't think I am cruel. I'm not going to be cruel about this. I genuinely find it very, like, sociologically fascinating.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, was hooked to the internet when, like, anything, like, all the videos and all the Twitter commentary, I loved it. I was like, eating it up. I just couldn't get enough.
Oh, I can't wait. Allie, what are you talking about today?
What am I talking about today? How do I even begin to talk about Ilaria Baldwin?
Ilaria
Baldwin, if you will, is how she pronounces it. Here's how I'll start. Try to start. There are a few things on the internet that when I come across them, I have to stop everything I'm doing and devote the next 45 minutes to 3 hours to just, like, going down the rabbit hole, right?
Absolutely.
I think you have those too.
Yes.
I think we both have had our Titanic phases.
Yes.
Our Greek mythology phases. And then it's like you come across something and you're like, oh, I'm just going to go read some, you know, mental floss articles about this.
Yes.
It's
like a lot of people have, like, one movie where if it's on TV, you're watching it.
That's exact same. Exact same thing.
It doesn't. For me, it's Clueless. If Clueless is on TV, I'm stopping what I'm doing.
Oh, and Ilaria, she is first at con for me. I love it. And there are many fine people who have bravely created YouTube compilations for this very purpose.
For you.
And their country thanks them. Yeah, by their country, I mean myself. Okay, so Ilaria Baldwin.
Is that just going to be like a calming mantra for you?
No, and I feel like that is how I have to pronounce it because that's how she pronounces it.
It's respectful. It's only respectful.
We're both white people from Boston. I want to begin with her marriage to Alec Baldwin. We're going to dive into her past a little before that. So when Alec Baldwin meets her, Ilaria is a New York yoga personality. I'm going to give you a second to just...
Oh, to be a New York yoga personality.
Oh, to be. Yeah, she's, like, gorgeous. She's got, like, beautiful dark hair.
I love that description because you're not even... Like, I'm sure she's teaching yoga, but it's not that. It's that she's a yoga personality.
It has nothing to do with that.
It actually has nothing to do with whether or not she's helping anyone.
If anyone else has seen Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, there's a wonderful song at the beginning that Valencia sings. Look at me, I'm so good at yoga.
Yep.
And she's just beautiful. And doing different yoga poses in gorgeous outfits.
And making our protagonist feel very bad about herself.
Exactly. And that's her. So she's only 25 when she opens a yoga studio with a partner called Yoga Vida.
Ooh.
So I will give her this. Like, she's not like a full trophy wife. Like, girlfriend has a career.
Absolutely.
And that's really impressive to have opened something up like that at 25.
In New York.
And, you know, be being interviewed by, like, yoga magazines. Like, great. Good for you.
Yes.
I also want to say, I should stop myself, I have no issue with trophy wives. I think I've said this in the past. Famously, I do not give a fuck what adults do with their lives or their genitals as long as everyone's on board with it.
Absolutely true.
Go get your bag, ladies.
Get that bag.
So, anyways, she's in her mid-20s. She's absolutely gorgeous. Please Google a picture of her.
Mm-hmm.
And she meets Alec Baldwin at a restaurant. They meet in a restaurant in New York City, and apparently he goes up to her, takes her hand, never met her before.
Interesting.
And is like, I must know you. Like, I must know you from somewhere.
Oh.
Which is actually probably a good line.
Yeah, not a bad line.
Like, oh, don't we know each other? But I think she was fine with it.
Don't touch me, though.
No, don't touch me. Definitely don't touch me. She was fine with it.
What if Alec Baldwin approached her the way that I approach you and I said, hold my hand.
Hold my hand.
Would that have made her fall in love?
Hold my hand.
Hold my hand.
Hold my hand. Yeah, I think so. Hold my hand.
But instead it's just a hold of the hand, no ask.
A light.
And I must know you from somewhere.
I must know you from somewhere. And so they fall in love. They have a beautiful New York romance. Alec Baldwin famously lives in New York, famously beating up paparazzi on the streets of New York.
Famously an actor and the guy from 30 Rock, if anyone's bad with names and faces.
Yeah, do I have to say who Alec Baldwin is?
He's an actor and he was on 30 Rock.
How old are the people who listen to this?
I genuinely don't know. We should do a demographic survey.
I thought you were about to say, I genuinely don't know who Alec Baldwin is. And I was like, Sam, you don't get the... You were born in 1994. You have to know who Alec Baldwin is. That's just the way it is. Yeah, Alec Baldwin. What to say? Beetlejuice? It's complicated. Those two really wrap him up, right?
He's an actor.
I guess I could say, like, Glengarry Glen Ross, but I'm not going to give him any of the good ones.
He's got a bunch of problematic family members, and he's
for
one of them.
Sure, yeah. He's chaotic.
Yeah.
And I love that about him, too. Mm. Like, I'll leaf through pretty much anything. And I'm actually not going to talk about the other horrifying thing that comes up with Alec Baldwin. Maybe we'll talk about that someday. Probably not. That was horrible and recent.
Yeah, that's just something that's like, God, that's terrible.
Horrible thing that happened. And I don't think it's that
terrible for everyone involved.
Terrible for everyone involved. But anywho, this is in the early aughts. So this is a while ago. But so they meet at a New York restaurant, and within a year, they are married in 2012.
When you know, you know.
When you know, you know. He proposes to her way out east in the Hamptons because he said it was as close as he could get her to Spain, which is where her family is. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about Spain.
Let's talk about España.
Let's talk about Spain. Yeah. Sam, you have been.
I have been to Spain.
You went to Spain.
It was beautiful. I was in Nerja.
Oh, I've been too. I forgot.
It's gorgeous.
Not because it was unmemorable. It was absolutely beautiful. It was just when I was much younger, so.
Yeah, I maintain that one of the most beautiful places I've been in my whole life is the cathedral in Cordoba, because it was originally a mosque, and then the Spanish, they were all about Catholicism, so they didn't want it to be a mosque anymore.
Yeah, yeah, fair.
But it was so beautiful that they didn't want to wreck it, so they just, like, chunked a cathedral into it, so, like, you're walking through it, and you're like, wow, what beautiful Islamic architecture, and then you turn a corner, and it's like, cathedral! The Virgin Mary! It's, like, such an interesting architectural...
We've rebranded, okay?
But it's so beautiful to be inside.
It's beautiful. Beautiful country. Best fucking food, my
so
God.
So yummy. And I'm assuming birthplace of Ilaria Baldwin.
I remember also I was in Spain once. I was at, like, a churreria. Like, it was just a place for churros.
Yes.
I don't know if I'm calling that the right thing or pronouncing it right. But I was with a friend of mine, Cody Heiger. Cody, if you're listening, you might remember this. And we were having churros, and Cody's very beautiful. Mm-hmm. So the waiter was very, very flattered, like, very interested in her. And so kept bringing us chocolate and churros. Yes. And I was like, this rocks. Like, this is awesome.
The waiter was like, I must know you.
I must know you from somewhere. I must know you from somewhere. But yeah, so I have nothing but wonderful memories of Spain. But let's talk about Spain. Ilaria is Spanish.
Absolutely.
Well, she's from Spain.
Absolutely.
Well.
Oh.
Her family lives in Spain.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Her family lives in Spain. And in the mid-2000s, what we know for sure is that she speaks Spanish.
Yes.
Absolutely, surely she speaks Spanish fluently and extremely well. Even her greatest detractors admit that she speaks Spanish very, very well. Often with a Spanish accent. Makes sense. She's from Spain.
Of course.
And... You know, in some interviews, she mentions that she was raised in Spain and America.
Okay.
You know what I mean? She talks about how she had an upbringing where she was moving back and forth, seeing family in both places, speaking both languages, a woman of the world.
A third culture kid.
A third culture kid, exactly. You know, and, you know, she just has so many different influences in her life and isn't that great and isn't she so lucky? And she certainly is.
Absolutely.
And so naturally, her heritage is a big part of her identity. She goes on talk shows, like cooking Spanish food, including one where she forgot the English word for cucumber.
Ooh.
So this will come back. How you say cucumber. That will come back to her.
Oh, okay.
She says, how do you say this word in English? Cucumber. That's gonna... Just hold on to that. She has posed twice on the cover of the Spanish magazine Hola.
Hola.
And is written about in Latina magazine as one of the best-dressed Latina stars.
Oh, and a star in that she is a yoga personality.
And I think at that point she was Alec Baldwin's wife. So she gets...
So those two things.
Star. Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Fair
she
enough.
Can have... You know what? She can have it. We'll give her that one. So yeah, she's talking about Spanish culture. She's big on social media, of course. She's on Instagram, on Twitter. She makes jokes about like Spanish culture and American culture clashing for her. And, you know, Alex will tell, like, funny stories about, like, their, you know, cultures kind of coming together. Like, how initially Ilaria didn't know who he was because she didn't own a TV growing up in Spain.
Interesting.
And, of course, she's raising her children to speak Spanish. So let's talk about children. Alec and Ilaria Baldwin. I keep saying Hilaria. I read Hilaria and I say Ilaria. And I don't know what to do.
It's a little of both. It's her name is spelled with an H, but she pronounces it without the H because she's Spanish.
I mean, I think the word... I don't think anyone's really called Hilaria. I think it's Ilaria or Hillary.
Hillary.
Alec has one daughter, Ireland Basinger Baldwin, whom he famously shares with Kim Basinger. And they both handled that divorce super well. I'm sure Trashy Divorces has covered that. I'm not sure if they have.
I'm sure they did it
and they nailed it. Ladies, if not, let's get on it because that's very important.
Now's the time.
Need a break from the horrifying reality of real life? Well, do we have a sexy deal for you?
Go to adamandeve.com and use our special code HORROR for 50% off almost any item and free shipping. That's HORROR at checkout for 50% off and free shipping. Order now and get ready to...
But so after Ireland, so Ireland's significantly older than her half-siblings. She's a mother now, too, actually.
Yes, very excitingly.
So Alec Baldwin is a grandfather as well. In 2013, the Baldwinitos arrive.
Oh.
And that is not me making up a sassy little word for them. That is what she calls them.
Oh, well, that's kind of cute.
Baldwinitos.
Her little Baldwins.
2013, they welcome Carmen Gabriella, quickly followed by Rafael Thomas.
Mm-hmm. Is it Rafael Thomas or is it Rafael Tomas?
Rafael Tomas.
Of course.
That was French, sort of, the way I said it. I'm so sorry. I don't speak Spanish and I'm going to do my best because it's also like, this is so hilarious in the context, but... Their names are beautiful.
Oh, like, yes.
I think Romeo is spelled, pronounced Romeo. Romeo Alejandro David. Eduardo Pau Lucas. Mm-hmm. Maria Lucia Victoria. Mm-hmm. So it's like English and Spanish
we
names,
love.
Right? And then Ilaria Catalina Irina.
Ooh.
She really nailed it with that last one. Like, it flows right off the tongue. They're all beautiful, beautiful names.
Arena makes me think, Russian, too. Like, this baby's got a little bit of everything.
I know, right? Maria Lucia Victoria actually was born via surrogate just 4 months after Ilaria gave birth to Eduardo, because I think they suffered a few pregnancy losses after Romeo. And so that's very sad. And so I think they started the process with a surrogate. And during that process, they got pregnant again.
Yeah.
And just moved forward with both pregnancies. And that's great. That's adorable. Like, they're sort of like twins in that way.
I know. That's very... I've heard that story from a lot of people.
Which I think is... I think that's wonderful. And it's just sort of like a beautiful way of welcoming more children into the world and that are clearly so wanted. And I just want to be very clear. I find nothing wrong with that and with any of this. Their children are beautiful. Like, they're clearly all very, very wanted and loved. And they have the means to, Alec Baldwin is famous. Yeah. So, like, they have the means to provide a safe and comfortable life for all of them. Have as many kids as you want.
So they have what, five?
Seven.
Seven.
So that's seven.
That's seven.
So
that's quite a few.
Let's count it out. Carmen, Raphael, Leonardo, Romeo.
Donatello, Michelangelo.
No.
Spinner.
Alejandro, Eduardo, Maria. Wait, is it eight? I miscounted.
Oh, God.
I think I threw an extra. I think I threw a middle name. I believe it's seven. All the articles say seven.
Okay.
Somebody correct me.
Unless you've discovered the missing Baldwinito.
Oh, Christ. that's their name. Christ.
Christo.
Christo. So yeah. And Ilaria raises all of her children to speak Spanish. Of course she does.
And as she should.
As she should. So now, what year is it, Sam? It's 2020.
Great year.
Great. Notably great. Notably wonderful year. And perhaps because it is such a notably wonderful year, we're all inside. We need someone to be thrown to the crowd. Yeah. Like wolves attacking a rotisserie chicken. You know what I mean? Yeah. We need a piece of meat thrown to the crowd.
It's the Hunger Games and we're the capital.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. We need something. We need something. So a thread starts to get, well, first of all, the trouble starts at the root of all evil, obviously.
Is it Reddit?
No, it's Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
The internet. But yeah, Twitter, hellscape. A thread starts to get popular of someone calling her out, calling her a hoax. That's actually been, there's been Twitterings, if you will, before on her, like, Instagram, on Twitter, on comments and stuff, people being like, you're actually from Boston. And sometimes she'd respond and be like, yes, I was born in Boston and I was raised in Boston and Spain.
Okay.
And a lot of times people would be like, she's not actually Spanish. And she'd be like, you do know my family is from Spain, right? Like, they live in Spain. And so that shut that down. For whatever reason, this thread stuck.
Yeah.
I honestly think it's because of the pandemic. I genuinely believe it's like, we just needed this.
I need something.
We needed this.
Yeah.
she gave us this. like Jesus on the cross.
As if we were her own Baldwinitos.
A lot of Christ imagery.
In this episode.
Is it hot in here? so basically a thread starts that she's not from Spain and she's faking a Spanish accent. And this time they also have clips of her back to back. And the clips, you can find these. I'll post them on the internet. I'll post them on our Twitter, @I'mHorrifiedPod. The videos are fairly damning because some are a thick Spanish accent. Mm-hmm. And some are simply an American woman who was born in America speaking English.
So big difference.
Very big difference.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring you back to how you say cucumber.
Yeah.
See?
It's a little bit troubling.
You can't do that and then be speaking, like, 100% English accent. I mean, you can't. I guess that's I suppose that's also possible. Mm-hmm. It is possible that someone who is Latina or any ethnicity could grow up between cultures. So there's certainly nothing wrong with that. And I think that there's certainly a world in which people were pouncing on her for no reason. And she's, you know, either biracial or, you know, like, people are trying to take her identity away from her. And that sucks a lot of the time. If, like, you're not fully immersed in a culture that is still your culture, mm-hmm. like, you can't claim it. So the problem with that is that it is not her culture.
Okay.
She is not Latina. She is not from Spain.
Oh.
She is not in any way connected to any kind of Spanish heritage.
Oh.
Is my understanding.
Oh my.
So I think, well, I take that back. I think maybe she has, like, a grandparent who might have had some
Spanish heritage.
So she is, first of all, not Latina because theoretically she's from Spain.
Yeah.
So Spain would not be Latina, would be Hispanic. But even that is not true. Like, she's not from Mexico or anywhere. She's not from anywhere. Well, she's from somewhere. But that somewhere, we find out, is Boston. It is Boston, pretty much only Boston. Apparently, she went on vacations to Spain.
Okay.
And her father was very involved academically with, like, Spanish language. He spoke Spanish fluently. So they did speak a lot of Spanish at home.
I'm sure.
Which is cool.
Which, like, is really cool.
That's awesome. That's super cool. A great way to learn a language, totally. Yes. By being immersed with, like, if your parent speaks a different language, like, just start talking to them in a different language. It's incredible. So that's different. Mm-hmm. So that's different than, like, oh, you know, oh, I have many cultures.
Yeah.
She really just has the one.
Yeah.
Well,
she made it sound like I would spend 6 months in Spain and 6 months in the U.S.
Yes.
And even when we were in the U.S., my whole family is Spanish.
Yeah. And so technically now her family, her parents and her brother do live in Spain.
But they are not.
But they're still just white people living in Spain.
Yeah.
Which is fine. They can.
Uh-huh.
That's fine. And it's fine for her to speak, of course, to speak Spanish and to enjoy Spanish culture.
Yes.
To a certain point.
I think it's fine for her to say, like, I ate a lot of Spanish foods growing up, and here's my favorite one. Let me cook it for you. But it's not okay then for her to say, how do you say
cucumber? And even just to say, like, Spanish language was a big part of my childhood. And, you know, like, it's, like, I talk about, like Ireland that way. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not, well, like, heritage-wise, I am Irish, but I'm not Irish. I wasn't raised in Ireland. I don't have parents who were raised in Ireland. Like, I don't connect with Irish culture.
Yeah.
However, knowing that I have a heritage, it's kind of exciting for me to, like, revisit and be like, oh, I love the country. I love learning about the culture. This is super cool. Like, I feel like she could do the same thing and just be like, this is a place that I visit and I just have such a love for the culture here. Yes. Like, that's fine. Whatever.
And similarly, like, you grew up with a lot of, like, not biological family members, but, like, people, family, friends in your community who were Jewish. And so...
Very much so.
You've, like, enjoyed and had fun with a lot of Jewish customs your whole life. And so you can enjoy, like, you can make a mean challah bread.
I actually think I am on the chopping block for being, like, a Jewish Ilaria Baldwin, in a way. Because so many people in my life, like, I've had a lot, especially a lot of, like, women in my life, like, mother figures. Even my own mother. My own mother's, all of her friends are Jewish. Like, a lot of, just a lot of really beloved people in my life are Jewish. So, you know, grew up, like, going to Passover and stuff like that. Love the food.
Yeah.
Love, do indeed make fantastic challah. But I'm not Jewish.
Yeah.
Like, but, of course I can love the culture that I was raised getting, being allowed in.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, being invited to. I feel really honored that I was, you know, invited into culture in that way. Like, I think about a close family friend of ours, Janice, who's, you know, like, a mother figure to my own mom. And she's, like, so, like, a grandmother to me. Like, she's, I just have so much love for her. And she'll, like, make, like, wonderful, like, she'll make mandel bread and she'll bring it over and knows how much I like it. And, like, she's, you know, like, all of that energy was very much part of my childhood. And that's great.
But
and
I mean,
I'm proud of that. I'm proud of the fact that there are so many people in my life who have taught me about that, that I love, and yet still I am not Jewish.
Yes.
Certainly.
And it would be different if you were opening a business called Yoga Oy Vey.
Yes,
and
you were exactly.
Naming all of your children Shalom and...
If I was opening up a Jewish deli on my, like... Bubby's heritage, that's no good.
then that's no good.
Now we have a problem,
yes.
Right? So this kind of explodes. And the videos are objectively hilarious. They're objectively hilarious.
They're hilarious.
Oh, no. Sam, how dare you?
Bam!
Oh.
Bing, bang, boom.
Right to the forehead, baby. Yeah, so... This is just, it's funny. Of course it's funny. It's funny seeing the things back and forth. And it just gets more and more damning. People find more and more things where, and it's funny because she does never really say outright, I am Spanish. Mm. I am Hispanic. Or even, like, she, again, like, is written up in a lot of, like, Latina magazines, which I think they're just like, oh, she's from Spain. Like, we all speak Spanish. It's fine. Like, you know what I mean? Like, she's not Latina, but she's included in a lot of, like, Latina lists and articles and magazines and stuff like that. But, like, times when, like, they would claim her. Like, magazines would be like, oh, this really cool star or wife of a star is from Spain and she's doing this cool thing. And she's like, yeah, hey, it's me, Ilaria Baldwin. There's no mention of, like, she doesn't come in and be like, oh, I'm actually not Spanish.
Yeah.
Heritage-wise, culturally, ethnically. I'm not Spanish. Which you feel like you do.
Yeah.
Right? But she did not. So there's just so many examples of, like, implying it and talking about, like, finally being home again and, like, this is how you know I'm from Spain, like, having, like, paella and things like that. And it's just, like, what it just gets worse and worse for her. You know what I mean? The more people mine stuff out and, like, classmates of hers from Boston are, like, posting pictures and it's, like, Hillary Hayward Thomas. That's her name. And that's what we called her and all that kind of stuff. So
her name is Hillary.
Her name is Hillary.
That's different.
Hillary Hayward Thomas.
I don't know much, but that does not sound especially Spanish to me.
There's actually, her mother is a physician, or was a physician in the Boston area, and there's a video of her mom on a Zoom talking about her life, just like being like, hey, I'm Dr. Whomever. You know, we moved to Boston right after we had our son Thomas, and then our daughter, and she like pauses for a second and then says, our daughter Ilaria. Like, she's clearly about to say our daughter Hillary.
Yes.
And it's like, no. Oh, I've been told it's Ilaria. Which you can make your mom call you whatever you want, I guess.
But in this case, it seems like you're making your mom call you that as part of a grift.
As part of a bit of a grift.
Not just because you want a different name, which is fine to want, obviously.
It's very clear to everyone, even if... So there's some examples of her just straight up appropriating, period. Mm-hmm. And then in the situations where she isn't outright saying the thing, saying, mm-hmm. I'm Spanish, I'm from Spain, allowing that to be the implication and not correcting it.
Mm-hmm.
But so that's everywhere. Like, evidence mm-hmm. of that is everywhere. So she goes on Instagram, finally, and is like, for first, she kind of tries to play it off. Like, yeah, I have always said that I was raised in America. This has never been a question. In America and Spain, like, lots of different cultures. I'm from lots of different cultures. I think technically she's, like, English, Finnish, like, a sort of white mutt.
Yeah.
Just like I am. Like,
as many of us are.
Like, English, Irish, Italians, you know, like, all the beige ones. But, like, I think she's sort of taking, like, a global, like, I'm really from everywhere. Mm-hmm. And now everyone's like, no, you can't do that. Not when you're on the cover of Hola magazine. Like, you can't do that. Eventually, Ilaria goes on Instagram to make a video explanation and reply to the comments. So she writes, my parents raised my brother and me with two cultures, American and Spanish. And I feel a true sense of belonging to both. The way I've spoken about myself and my deep connection to two cultures could have been better explained. I should have been more clear, and I'm sorry. And she also very clearly refers to herself and says, I am a white girl. Mm-hmm. Like, I am white.
Yes.
And so people are having a field day with that, obviously. Yeah. And then in a follow-up video, I think she's starting to be, like, a little cagey. She says, I've never said that my mother was Spanish. My family is a big mix of so many different things. My thing is about being authentic. And when people say I'm not being authentic, it hurts my feelings. I don't really, that's how you know she's a white woman.
Yeah.
It hurts my feelings. I don't really understand why this is turning into such a big thing. I want to take it seriously, but I also don't want it to be all of a sudden I'm apologizing for who I am. Mm. Because at this point, I'm starting to feel that I'm being attacked for who I am and that no answer is the right answer. So that's her response. What do you think?
Here's where I'm at. I would be on her side if she wasn't doing the accent. It seems to me.
Yeah, it's true. It's the accent's everything here.
That if she was just saying, like, if she had been saying, I grew up between Spain and Boston, and then we discovered she spent a little bit more time in Boston than Spain, I would let her get away with that, I think. That's not a problem for me.
She's just really enthusiastic about this culture that is not. And I think that's, you know, certainly can lead to an appropriate place, but, like, you know, doesn't necessarily have to. You can just be like, I really, really love Thailand or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, wherever. I really, really love Russia. I really, really love France. Like, a lot of white women love France.
And good for that.
And good for them. Sure.
But to me, like, and again, like, even I'd let her get away with, like, if she said, like, oh, I used to, you know, make paella all the time growing up. Like, if her dad is a scholar of Spain and they went on vacations there, possibly true that she used to, you know what I mean?
Fine.
For me, it's the accent that's like, you were trying to do something here.
You were trying to do something.
And also, I think it's clear that she's walking back. Her original thing is like, sorry if I was unclear, I'm a white girl. To me, that second thing is walking it back because she wants to keep doing the accent. She's like, I'm a citizen of the world. And what that means is I get to keep doing my accent.
Yeah. Yep.
Because otherwise, if she had just been like, hey, I guess I was unclear about my heritage, I'm a white girl, then people would have been like, great, stop doing that accent.
Yeah,
like,
just don't. There's no need.
Yeah.
There's no need. I think she hoped that that would be the end of it. And in a way, it kind of was. I mean, it was tabloid fodder for several weeks, stretching out all across her, like, career and life, just kind of, like, swooping her whole life and bringing things back. And then eventually she did a piece with the New York Times, giving her own perspective, like, kind of looking back on it. The thing she says is, the things I have shared about myself are very clear, Miss Baldwin said. This is from the New York Times. I was born in Boston. I spent time in Boston and in Spain. My family now lives in Spain. I moved to New York when I was 19 years old, and I have lived here ever since. For me, I feel like I have spent 10 years sharing that story over and over again, and now it seems like it's not enough. And to that I say, that is not the story you were telling.
Yes.
That is at least not the only story you were telling.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's very, very clear that she wanted to be seen as a woman of color.
Mm. And as European, too.
And as European as well. But she really did lean into, like, spaces that were for women of color.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on her podcast, she would talk about, like, trying to preserve her culture with her children. Which I'm sure is a huge thing for even for many white people. I can see somebody who's like, you know, French, like living in America and being like, how do I preserve what it means to be French for my kids? Like, that's interesting. But she's so co-opting this narrative that many women, Hispanic and Latina, she's been identified as both and not corrected.
Yeah.
You know, That's their story. Mm-hmm. That's not your story. And there is this sort of sense of like, oh, I'm more interesting. I'm more exotic. That's the word that comes back. Like when we talked about Mata Hari and stuff like that, like what's wrong with this is really that is coming in to put on a mask of being a woman of color when it suits her and when it benefits her and having none of the actual struggle or, you know.
Like she doesn't have the real lived experience.
Exactly. No lived experience. And that sucks.
Yeah. And that's what's yucky.
It's yucky. I also think it's still funny. It's funny. I mean, I'm not saying it's funny, do it. Like, but it's funny to me because it reminds me of, and now I feel mean. I don't want to be mean because it's like, I just had like so many, I think I grew up in, maybe I've talked about this before. So I grew up outside of Boston, much like our Ilaria. And I had like a lot of friends who would be like, oh, like I love, like I know what pizza should taste like because I'm Italian. And I'm like, babe, you grew up in Walpole. like that's, you're not Italian.
Yes.
You are of Italian descent. Great.
Yes.
Cool. Maybe you're Italian American. A lot of these people weren't even Italian American. They were just like back in the day.
Yeah.
And it's like, Fine. That's fine. But, like, and identifying with, like, Irish-American, Italian-American culture, whatever. But it seemed like girls in my school, not just girls, people in my school wanted to co-opt some kind of, yeah, like, I'm different.
I'm special.
I'm special.
Yeah.
In the way that I think also moving through college with a non-native, well, she's a native English speaker, obviously, but somebody who had a foreign accent, Becky, our third secret co-host, people did treat her like an oddity.
Yeah.
But we're very excited. They're like, oh my God, you're British. Like, that's so cool. Where are you from? And she's like, yeah, I'm just... Yeah, that's what my voice sounds like. I don't know what to tell you.
Her favorite used to just be like Connecticut.
No, that was my favorite. She would never say it. I was always like, she's from Connecticut. That's how they talk. But yeah, it's like, I think you do get a little bit of intrigue of like, oh, like, wow. Mm-hmm. And I think that like I saw growing up, and it's harmless, I guess, if you're doing it with like, you know, your heritage of like, because that's at least coming from... Yeah. A real-ish place of, like, you want to be really, really identify with England because your great-great-grandfather was from England. Cool.
Yeah.
Fine. That's not hurting anyone. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's not hurting. You really, really love Irish culture. Like, but I do that. Yeah. Like, I really love Irish culture. I'm sure in part because that's part of my genealogy. And I think about, like, you know, not too far back having great-grandparents who immigrated from Ireland. And that's cool. And it's cool to connect with that kind of stuff. And I don't want to be somebody who's like, if you're not on the ground living it, like, you can't enjoy it. Mm-hmm. It's just about claiming it.
Yeah.
You don't need to claim things that aren't yours to make you feel special.
Yeah.
Or to make you seem special. And I empathize with that because nobody wants to be special more than myself. I love feeling special. Who doesn't want to feel special?
Absolutely.
Who doesn't want to feel like a cool, quirky, not like other girls? Mm-hmm. It feels good, but especially in Ilaria, in Ilaria's case, what she's doing is contributing to a really harmful, really shitty way of, you know, tokenizing women of color.
Yeah.
And we can't have it.
No.
And the YouTube video compilations are hilarious.
I have a theory. Can I present a theory of why they're so funny?
Please.
On this. Here's a thought I have on this. The image I think that Ilaria was projecting was one of, like, effortless gorgeousness, right? She's a yoga teacher. It's all natural. Here's me with my Baldwinitos.
Oh, my God. She has a morning routine video that I'm like... Fuck you.
Yeah.
There is no way you are rolling out of bed, doing an hour of yoga, and then a 25-minute skincare routine when you have 7 children.
But I think part of the, like, schadenfreude of this is, like, oh, she's been putting in a lot of effort, hasn't she?
Yeah, that's very true.
Oh, every time she opens her fucking mouth, she's putting effort in and trying to make us think, like, oh, like, I'm just rolling out of bed and doing my hour of yoga, and that's why my life is like this.
Girly is working for it.
And I'm like, and I think, like, to me, that's something that adds, like, a level of, like, schadenfreude, like, fuck you.
Yeah, seriously.
Oh, so, well, at least now I know you have to do an accent every day of your life.
Like, exactly.
You don't get to go home and relax.
Yeah, and now it's like, what do you do?
Yeah.
Like, what do you do now? How do you talk now?
I know.
She still does it a little.
I think she does.
I think she does.
That must have been weird for Alec.
Well, that's the other thing. Alec would kind of co-opt it as well. And he'd be like doing her accent on like talk shows. And he's like, oh, it's not racist. Like, my wife is from Spain. Like, kind of like, oh, I get to make fun of her because she's my wife and she's Spanish. She is his wife. But that's where that stops.
It makes me think that she, if I was her... I'd take a hard pivot into claiming Boston. Like, I'd start doing Dunkin' commercials.
Hell yes.
Yeah, like, I'd...
Yes.
I'd be like, me and Ben Affleck in the Dunkin' commercial.
Yeah, we'll take her.
Yeah, like...
We'll take her.
Why not?
I don't even... Growing up, I didn't even feel like I could claim Boston culture, because I, you know, I don't have, like, townie culture. I certainly have Massachusetts culture.
Yeah.
But I feel comfortable saying, we'll take her.
Yeah.
We will take her.
That would be the funniest possible thing she could have done, was to be like, I've always made it clear that I live between Spain and Boston. I've told you what I love about Spain, but
now we're going to enter our reputation era, which is going to be full Boston.
It's just her being like, fuck you.
Fuck you. I would love that. Oh my God. That's such a good point, Sam.
That would be the best possible thing. Oh,
that's the best possible.
She comes out with like a thick Boston accent. Oh my God. Like, I've always said that I'm from Boston. Like, I guess you have.
I couldn't be more clear. I need to get in touch with her people. How do we get in touch with her people? Email us at imhorrifiedpodcast@gmail.com.
Listen, is it a less enticing and mysterious accent?
No, it isn't.
Perhaps.
Nope. I think it's just as mysterious and seductive.
Alec Baldwin says, I must know you from somewhere. What the fuck are you talking about? Yeah. Oh, I love you on 30 Rock.
Yeah, fucking right. All right. I think we've gotten to her next step.
Should we be crisis PR managers?
I think we would at least come up with good ideas.
I think so.
I don't know if any of them would be effective, but in terms of like volume of ideas,
we've got a ton of them.
We've got them.
One of them's got to work.
Absolutely.
Oh my God. Yeah, but it reminds me of, I read a book a while ago that I know I recommended to you that was called The Adventures of Amina al-Sarafi. And the author, the way she's credited in her book is S.A. Chakraborty. And then she's written a story about like a Muslim woman in like the historic like Middle East, like sailing the Indian Ocean, like this story. And I looked on her website and she is white and she married an Indian man, which is why her last name is Chakraborty. And she's a convert to Islam. And so I think it's really funny. She like did the reverse Ilaria, which is that her like panel set, like her website says, like her name is Shannon. She's like, Shannon would be happy to be on a panel about converting to Islam, about like Middle Eastern history, because she's like a scholar of like history of that region, you know, about writing. She should not be on your panel about growing up as an Islamic person of color, because that is not what she did.
So it even, yeah, like, that's a good.
And I was like, that's really, I'm sure she gets those asks all the time because people just see S.A. Chakraborty and they're like, great, a person for my POC panel.
Yeah, and I know a lot of people who have like married into families of color, and yeah, it's like now that gets to me my culture too in a way, because I share my life with somebody. And that's great. And I think there's a lot of really fun things of like, this is what I've learned about Indian culture or Muslim culture or whatever it is. It also reminds me a little bit of, I know there's a little girl on TikTok who she doesn't have any hair and she's often in like theme parks and stuff. And a lot of times like people will do really nice things for her, I think assuming that she has cancer.
Mm.
Which it's not wrong for people to do nice things for her, obviously. They put in their TikTok bio, like, other than this thing that makes her have hair. I don't know if it's alopecia or something else.
Something like that.
But they're like, she has this condition. Otherwise, she is totally healthy.
Yeah.
And living, like, a wonderful life and all that kind of stuff. And, like, put that out there at the forefront. And it's like, yeah, well, some people get confused and maybe bestow upon her a little more kindness. Sure, they will. I don't think that's hurting anyone because they're not pretending. They're not trying to, they're not grifting. They're not trying to, because like that would be like, that's a whole nother level. I mean, it's really not okay what Ilaria Baldwin's doing either, but like the idea of riding the coattails of something as horrible as that, it's like, you know, there's a way. There's a way to do this.
Yes.
There's a way to be your complicated, nuanced self and not be
appropriative. And Hilaria's not doing that.
And our sweet Hillary is not going to do that. I think
I'm going to watch 2 hours of compilations after you leave.
I think you will.
Yeah.
And I want everyone to do that. And let me know. Let me know your thoughts. Tweet us your favorite compilations.
Please do.
At I'm Horrified Pod.
And if you know of anyone else who's doing a similar thing, tweet us those compilations too.
I would love to have a new Ilaria Baldwin.
Yeah, it's the world's ready, I think, for another Ilaria.
Ready for someone to be Ilaria Baldwin.
Yes.
If you will.
Yes. Son of a Baldwin.
Son of a Baldwin. Son of a Baldwin. All right, we gotta go.
But thank you, Allie.
But thank you.
For reintroducing us to Hillary.
Thank you for letting me share my culture.
Yes.
Which is my obsession and love for this story.
Absolutely.
And I hope that all of you immerse yourself in the same cultural touchstones. But until next week, we hope you stay horrified.
Stay horrified.
I'm Horrified is a Hemlock Creatives production. Recorded and produced by us, Sam Bierstow and Allie Gavin, in Boston, Massachusetts. Our art is by Leah Brilliard and Allie Gavin. You can find us on Twitter at I'm Horrified Pod and at I'mHorrifiedPodcast.com. And you can tell us what horrifies you at I'mHorrifiedPodcast@gmail.com. If you'd like to support us directly on Patreon, you can get our podcast early and ad-free, as well as bonus episodes of our members-only minicast, I'm Thrilled! Check us out at patreon.com/I'mHorrified. And if you liked hanging out with us, tell your friends, share us on your socials, and leave us a review wherever you get your podcast. Thanks for stopping by, Horror Honeys.